So I'd now like to ask Yadrani. Yadrani was helping take care of Lalasamai in the last few months, and especially in the last few days of her life.
Hare Krishna. Sorry, I'm not feeling comfortable to speak like this in front of people, but I do it for her. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of trying to reflect, you know, actually what was happening, you know, in my relationships with Lalasamai. So then my conclusion, actually, that she was taking me. I mean, she was actually taking opportunity, you know, to help me in my spiritual life, in my spots of blindness, you know, for so many things. So then I really see it like a process, you know, that so many occasions I could see that she was actually doing things with the idea actually to help others. It was not for her sake. I mean, she was very attached to a particular way of things, you know, that she was doing. She was very, you know, a person was doing things in a very orderly way, and particular time, you know, she was taking a breakfast and a lunch was in a certain time, in a certain way, and everything which was happening was very, very much in order. And then Krishna just took away one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. But she took it as an opportunity. It was not just, I have to cope with that, or I have to, you know, this happened, it's horrible. I just realized at a certain point when all the arrangement was done, she was not able to cook anymore, so then there was so much arrangement was done for her. And then devotees were coming, and then one person was bringing this, another person was bringing that. And then one time somebody came, and she was looking at me with a bright face, and she was saying, "I really like it. I really like it so much." And I was thinking, what exactly she meant. She said, I like so much to see the devotion which is coming from these young devotees." I mean, she was basically giving opportunity, you know, for devotees actually to serve her, and it was not because of her enjoyment, but to see their devotion manifesting. So that was really amazing, actually. And I like Ashoka was saying also, that it was amazing how philosophical she was. I mean, she was not looking at things in a way of a mundane way. She was having some reflection of situations, which was really amazing. I mean, like some statements, which is like mind-blowing, you know, like kind of, you know, surprising. You know, was speaking about something seemingly mundane, you know, and then she said, "Yeah, where is this coming?" You know, it's like coming, kind of, you know, like a very, very deep understanding, spiritual understanding of the situation. So it was really interesting. So, I mean, we had I was a certain point, I kind of, I got a very strong conviction that actually I have to spend time reading for her. I mean, she was asking for somebody to read for her, and then I thought, this is my opportunity, actually. It was not for her sake, but actually for me to get purified. Because, I mean, she was so such an eager person to be with and to read with. I mean, she loved the scriptures. I mean, she had such a taste for, it was not just kind of, you know, like Gyani type, but she was in there, you know, she was enjoying actually reading, and then, you know, we were reading different things, and she was just totally absorbed in, you know, like laughing at the foolishness of some demon, or, you know, thinking about some philosophical point, or, I mean, she was just enjoying so much to read. And then she was doing it, I mean, when I was coming, I mean, she was reading the same thing that we were supposed to read, so then, you know, she was like having already, you know, the subject already processed, and then she was, you know, speaking about it. And it was, we had a lot of fun, actually. I mean, we were reading, because she didn't manage to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then I was reading with her the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and she was completely amazed by these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and she was laughing and enjoying so much. And she told me to read it, to read it again to her, then, because after we finished this, and she was so sad actually that we finished that, and said, "What we're going to read now?" She said, "I want to read a Krishna book." So while we were going through Krishna books, so then almost at the end, and also you know, the last, like close to the last time she was there, I want to read about Lord Chaitanya. So it was like she was very much drawn, you know, to Lord Chaitanya, and then, you know, kind of. So what another point that I was thinking, actually, like she was taking like big steps, you know, like in her kind of preparing herself. It was very quick. I mean, the way that I could perceive it was very fast. She was because first of all, like when I saw her first time, she was sick. I mean, she was very upset that actually the body doesn't work. You know, this is like, what is going on here? You know, and said, I cannot do things until this body is going to be fixed. And she was going on with that until, and then it was because she was getting wrong medicines. And then after she changed the doctor, and then it was better. And then it didn't work. And then finally she said, actually, you know, she said, you know, there's no need. I mean, the body is falling apart by nature. I cannot really do much about it. So then she started to accept it. I felt from that point there was some kind of a change of just accepting. And then she did it full-hearted. So then she started to, first of all, accepting, you know, the fact that actually the body started to be limited. And then Krishna took away more things. I mean, I mean, she was attached to the family, actually, and she didn't really feel, I mean, she didn't feel good that the family situation was not really solved. And then it was like kind of a weak point. I mean, I felt that it was, you know, it was a weak, I mean, it was kind of weakness that she was trying to fight. And she was very heavy with them, very, very heavy with them, you know, I have nothing to do with you, you know. At the same time, she was actually not feeling good, that actually the relationship was not resolved. And then, and I heard even, you know, 2 years before she left, I mean, the family came and they asked her to come back. So it was really like Krishna was really testing her. They were completely, you know, begging her, you know, please, you know, come back. She didn't, you know. And then, you know, different things were kind of taking away, and then, you know, like her ability to take care of food, you know, she was eating in a very particular way because she needed it. It helped her to be better. So then, she had to give up this. So she was eating in the time that devotees normally, I mean, devotees usually take prasadam at 1:30, but she was taking prasadam at 12, I think, something like that. And it was very difficult for devotees to supply, you know, the meal at that time. In the beginning, she was really, really disturbed. And then she accepted it. I mean, this is what I could see. She was disturbed about something, and she had some kind of, you know, something was proceeding, and then she accepted it. And then another thing, and then accepting another thing. And then, so it was really very interesting to see, actually, how, you know, she started to accept things. I mean, I was sometimes looking, you know, what she was eating, and it was really not her diet, you know. But she became so much, actually, not really concerned with the food, but actually with the service. You know, she was actually accepting the service. That was actually her main thing. And then, and sometimes they forgot to bring her prasadam. You know, she was there, and then, you know, I could see in the kitchen, you know, there was a plate, and then, you know, she was waiting for prasadam to come. There was empty plate, and there was, you know, her, you know, spoon and whatever was there, and there was no prasadam. And then when I came, you know, she was sitting there reading. And then I always ask her, you know, did you get, you know, how was your day, and did you get some, you know, who cooked, or, you know, and then at the very beginning, you know, she was saying, oh, you know, I didn't get prasadam today, you know, so I was very disturbed. But later, actually, I was coming, and then she was laughing. She was just completely happy, you know. She was saying, they forgot me today, you know. Krishna didn't want me to eat. She was just like, you know, laughing like anything. It was like, you know, this is what Krishna wanted, so this is nice, you know. It's like, I don't need it. So it was really amazing. And then she lost her ability to move in the house, to, you know, she could not walk. Yeah, so then she needed actually support, you know, she needed people to help her, nurses, and, you know, devotees were helping her. And then she gave up also this, you know, this. I mean, she accepted that her body cannot do things. So then, and the, later also, like, you know, she was not able to remember. Also, so she was so disturbed. Sometimes she was sitting like 10 or 15 minutes trying to remember something, some name of somebody, and trying to remember, completely disturbed. And then at a certain point, I told her, you know, I told her Krishna, I mean, memory is coming from Krishna. So Krishna is providing this memory. And what was really amazing that she has so much faith. I mean, she just believed it fully, and she accepted it. And then from that moment, I mean, she stopped actually having this kind of, you know, she was not disturbed anymore. And actually her memory was flowing. I mean, she just accepted memories coming from Krishna. So she let Krishna be her memory. And then it was amazing for me how she was able to transform on the spot. And this was the... And sometimes I had this you know, this kind of thought that actually she was like a yogi. In a sense of really being able to control her senses in such a way, like it happened a few times that she was starting to cough, you know, this kind of coughs, you know, that you cannot really stop. And then, I don't know where I got it from, but they told her, you know, you concentrate on your breathing, you know, you just, you know, follow your breathing, you know, from the nose in and out. So without saying a word, I mean, she just stopped and she was inhaling, you know, just two times, probably constant, and then she stopped coughing on the spot, just stopped. And then I was laughing, I said, Lalaso, you're a yogi. And then she was, you know, like laughing, you know, kind. But she was definitely able to control her sense just because she had this kind of simplicity, which was so amazing, so pure, this kind of ability to have faith, you know, in such a level, which was really unusual, was very, very amazing. I was surprised myself, actually. You know, that, I mean, I know things theoretically, and this is what I said, but, I mean, the fact that she was accepting it and doing something with it, I mean, and transformed, you know, this was really remarkable. You know, it gave me faith that actually this is correct. But this is what I feel, actually, that she was actually leading me, and Krishna's revealing so many things, you know, about what I have to do through her. But that's why I feel, I actually feel, that's what I said before, I really felt like being led by her. And then also the same kind of mood of detachment, you know, it's like when she lost her eyesight, she was actually not able to see. And then, you know, the same kind of peace, you know, I'm not able to see anymore. So then just accepting it, you know, I cannot see. And so then this was really amazing how she was so peaceful, not panic, you know, in one moment, you know, you cannot even see anymore. So you're just accepting it. And I thought, what a level, you know, it's just amazing. And then also when she left her body, I mean, like, you know, she was having difficulty with breathing. And then, I don't know why I said it, but I told her, you know, you don't really need to breathe, because she was having a hard time, and she was a little, you could feel that she was having this kind of a little anxiety. It's, I mean, not to breathe, I mean, it's something that's just like, you know, it's so basic. And then I told her that you don't need to breathe in order to exist. It came out of my mouth, you know, because I wanted to kind of, you know, let her, the feeling that actually she's not depending on the breathing. I mean, you know, and Krishna, I told Krishna is with you. I mean, you don't have to, you know, I just explained that, and then she just accepted it. I mean, I was thinking, what a level, and she became peaceful. And it was really like so amazing for me that she was able to detach herself from things just because of this faith, just having the faith that it is like that, you know, just having faith in Krishna, that Krishna is real and Krishna is behind everything. So this was very, very impressing. Yeah, so... you wanted me to say something about the time that she left? Yeah, I mean, I felt actually that we were kind of, I mean, the whole process of being with her, it was actually kind of I wanted to say something about also something which happened before, because before I was reading for her, but at a certain point she became kind of weak, you know, and I had the complete conviction you know, that if she will take organic food, food from the garden, homegrown, this is going to help her. So then I decided to make a soup for her every day, from the vegetables from the garden, and then I was really convinced it is going to help her, and she was supporting it. And then so I was making soup for her every day, and then and actually she became really better. Really, I mean, she was looking better, and she was, it really gave her vitality. You could see that. And then she so much appreciated it, and she was telling it so many times that actually this is the best, this is the best part of the day, that she really likes it so much. And then later, she stopped eating, she was not able to eat anymore. She didn't have the appetite, and she could not eat. But so the house was starting to be filled up with food, and then what to do with that? And then she, Ashoka was trying to tell her to tell people not to bring any more food. So then Ashoka was saying that part, but she was supposed to tell, and then she was telling me actually she's not, devotees are bringing too much prasadam, this is too much, I cannot really finish everything. And then I said, so you don't want me to make soup anymore? Said, no, your soup is very good, and your soup you can continue. And then so I was bringing soup, and at the same time Ashoka was telling me, there's no more soup, because, I brought the soup, and she said, I was putting it in a pot, and then she was warming it up, and then, taking it for a last meal. And then, so I was putting it in a pot, and the next day I come, and then it is in the pot. And then, I said, what shall I do with the soup, And she said, yeah, you can put it, there's a pot there. So I took another pot and I put it next to it. And the next day, you have two pots with soup, and then I come with the soup. You want this soup? Yes, 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 this soup is really, really good. And then I come again, and then, I put it in, and then next day, the pots are full already. And then she's still saying, you just go and bring it. And then one day they were not there, and then I thought, whatever. I mean, they're not pots, but they're not also, I don't know what happened. Then I found that actually it was stashed, everywhere, so she made sure that I don't really see it, And then she was, going on saying, you just bring it, but actually she was not able to, and it's just because, it was just because she was so much concerned, she wanted to, she wanted actually to reciprocate, by being grateful, and for her to reject something, for her was very, very, very hard, to be able to, So it was really nice to actually see that her motivation was basically to help the devotees. I mean, it was not, it was really so pure and so, so nice. So, yeah, so, I mean, it became also very somewhat clear in our relationship that actually this is the goal, actually to remember Krishna and to prepare for the time that she leaves the body. It was very, very clear in our relationship that this is actually what we are doing. And then I was reading for her every day in the afternoon, but it was it was very limited, because Nandi was coming back in the in the afternoon, and then so we were reading, and then I had to run and I had to cook, and I it was kind of a little intense, but then when she started to become really sick, so then there were so many people in the house. I mean, we didn't really have the time to really sit and read properly, and then it was very difficult actually to communicate with her, because all the time things were going on, nurses and kines and doctors, and it was really like so much was going on. And then it was really like the last days. Then I decided to have I was very much in anxiety, because I was afraid that she was a lot alone also in between, and I was afraid that something is going to happen, that she will leave and nobody is there. But I could not really get out of the entanglement of the house because I had to do so many things and I had, you know, different duties. And so then I because it was, Nandi was supposed to go for a holiday, and then I thought I'm going to spend time, actually I will stay with her, you know, in the nights. And then I took the shift of, you know, from 7 o'clock until the morning, until 9, something like that. So, actually, it's just the second night. I mean, she left, but I mean, the first night I was there. And because they told me that she's very simple, she was sleeping a lot because she had a stroke in the brain, so then it made her very, very tired. And then they told me that she's, you know, she just sleeps, you know. So they said that she, you know, basically, you know, going to sleep, and then in the morning she just wakes up. You know, this is Lalasama's pattern. And then the first night I was there, I could see that actually it was not at all the case. I mean, she was very restless. She was, you know, she was moaning. She was vomiting. She was, and then she didn't say a word about it, you know, to others actually, that she, you know, she's actually having difficulties, you know, during the night she needs somebody to take care of her. And then in the morning at 4:30 I started to sing the samsara prayers, and she was sleeping, apparently she was sleeping. And then after I went on to the whole morning program, and then I went next to her and I started to chant my rounds, and then she woke up. And then I put her beads in her hands, and then I told her that, you know, she can hold it, and then I'm going to chant together with her, and then she can chant her 16 rounds like that. So she was just chanting a little bit, but she really had no strength. I mean, she was moving the mouth, just very weak, very, very weak. And then like this, I mean, we're chanting 16 rounds. And then it was morning time, I went. No, I was having actually Vrindadevi next to her. So we were chanting actually all the rounds, and Vrindadevi, I was holding her in one hand, and then I was chanting in the other hand, and then I had to go and I came back. And then I was looking at the bed, and I saw something on the bed. It was really kind of thinking, what is this, you know? And then actually there were flowers from Vrindadevi just, you know, on her. And then I was telling to Lalasa, oh, Vrindadevi, she left some flowers for her. And then she was, you know, she was so happy, you know, she was completely smiling, very happy. And then after I heard that, she was telling actually that she was very happy that day because she was in Mangalarti and she chanted her 16 rounds. And I was thinking she's sleeping, but actually she heard the whole process was, you know, she was completely aware of that. And then I came again at 7 o'clock for my other night. And it was first at 7 o'clock, normally the nurse was coming, isn't it? 7? She was there, and she was looking at Lalasa, and she was, because there were two nurses, I mean, one in the morning and one in the evening. And the one in the morning, she was saying that, she said, you know, she can't live quite long like this, you know, it is, you know, she was quite positive. The one in the morning, she was very positive. She said, you know, she could live, you know, it can be that she will live a long time. And the one in the evening was very, very clear. She said, this is the end. You know, she was completely convinced this is the end. And she was very grateful that actually somebody is staying with her, you know, because she said it is really, really like, you know, the last hours. I mean, it was really like for her last. And then, she, the nurse went, and Mandira was there also. And we're very worried. I mean, you know, it was very, very kind of, you know, the whole atmosphere was like, yes, something is going to happen. You know, it is not really going, you know, not very good. And then I the light was there, very kind of strong. So then I put the I put the lamp, reading lamp, on the floor, you know, because I thought it is a little too aggressive, you know, for her. So I put the reading lamp on the floor, and it was the only light actually in the room. The room was pretty dark, and then I came next to Lalasa and again, you know, tried to kind of communicate with her, and then I asked her if just kind of asking, you know, how. If she, what she wants, if she's thirsty, because her mouth was kind of really dry, and if she wants to drink something, and she said no, and then she said yes, and then I gave her some, you know, I asked if she wants water, she said, yeah, she wants, she gave some, yeah, I want water, and then she asked for apples, for a drink with apples. And this is a drink that I made for her before. I just boiled some apples and let her drink the water, and she liked it. But I was really afraid, you know, that that I will spend time, then something will happen to her. So I gave her some apples with syrup, you know, so she didn't want it, you know. But anyway, she said she doesn't want to drink. And then I didn't really know exactly what she's going to do. If she's going to sleep, I asked her if she wants to sleep. And then she said, no, you know. And then she was telling, you know, that there's, she said, the room is so bright. And I was looking at the room. I mean, I was looking where she was looking up. She said, the room is so bright. I was thinking, you know, it was not bright. It was very dark, you know. And she said, very bright. And then she was looking at the other side. And then she said, relating to somebody, and I thought, well, you know, she was very strongly relating, you know, and I said, who is there? And she said, Krishna. And I was thinking, you know, it's like she was saying it in such a way, you know, it was like, Krishna, like really chastising somebody. And then I thought, where is this coming from? You know, it is like kind of, you know, I was thinking maybe she sees Krishna, but, you know, I thought, you know, kind of my speculation, you know, like if somebody doesn't see Krishna for so long and finally you see Krishna. So this is very, you know, you say it in a very kind of, you know, different way, you know. But she was like, Krishna. And I said, there's somebody else there? And then she said, none. And then after a few minutes she said, Nanda Maharaj. Very much in awe, like very Nanda Maharaj. And then she was, you know, told me, you don't see? And then I said, no, I don't see. She said, I will show you. You come with me. And then she said, come, close, you know. And then, because I said, I don't see. And she was really making sure, you know, do you see? And I said, I don't see. And I will show you. And she started actually a whole kind of really worried about, you know, about me. I mean, a person is hardly breathing and completely like, I mean, dying, practically speaking. I mean, I can imagine which kind of, like, physically what you feel in that. And she was just completely concerned about me not being able to experience this thing. So, and then she really held me tight and she said, you come with me. And again, you come with me. And she pulled me towards her, and then I had to really be on her chest, you know, and hours, you know, just going on, you know, and then she was just kind of, you have to come, you have to come. I had to say, I will come, you know, but in my mind, but I didn't finish the Krishna Bhakti magazine, and I have to send more things to the printer, and then, anyway, so then we were like this about 3 hours, you know, kind of, you know, chanting, and then I was really thinking, what shall I do? I mean, she's probably going to leave, and I just don't know what to do. And then I suddenly realized, actually, she has no tilak. And I thought, I don't really know where to get tilak. And I was afraid to move away from the place, you know, because, you know, you don't know what to do. And then I started, Gopinath, you please help me. And then I was just kind of really running around trying to find some. And I said, Gopinath, where is a tilak? And then suddenly I found a little piece of Radhakund tilak, you know. It's just there. So I mixed it with some water that I got from you, from the 1008 Holy Rivers. And then I thought, I have to call, you know, because I thought this is really the, I mean, she started to, yeah, she said, I want to go home, yeah, in that point. I want to go home, yeah. And then she withdrew. In that point, she withdrew, and then she was kind of fixing her eye, and she the eyes stopped blinking. She was opening the eyes, looking at one spot. No, and I asked her actually before, she was speaking a lot. I could not understand because actually her mouth was paralyzed, you know, because she had this stroke. And then she was trying to say, so whatever I could understand something, I was repeating. And then if I repeated right, she said yes, you know, and then if it does not, she was quiet. Yes, so then, I was asking her, you know, I was just trying to communicate with whatever. I could not really say much about what she sees, but I asked her if it is beautiful, you know, and she was just going on looking. And then I asked her if it is, if she's happy, you know, and then this is what I said before, that she was beaming. I mean, it was a most amazing smile. She was just shining. His happiness. This was really amazing thing. Oh, Krishna.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, she was very dear to Gopinath, that's for sure. And then, then she withdrew. And then I was thinking I have to call the devotees. And I thought, to whom am I going to call? I didn't prepare myself. This was amazing, actually, how Krishna arranged things. Because, I mean, suddenly, I mean, the same day, Jabhadra came with, you know, she gave me some tulsi leaves from Gopinath's lotus feet, right? And then some water, you know. I didn't arrange anything. I was so stupid, you know. I had to phone. It was 11:30 in the night, and I didn't really know any telephone number. I mean, there was a telephone there, but I didn't really know how to phone because, I mean, I didn't think of telephone number, you know. It was really... Anyway, I mean, I just was... You know, again, praying to Gopinath, please help. And then I found the telephone from Shamalika. I mean, there was a paper there, and then some other, I just took Shamalika's phone number, and I phoned to Shamalika, and then I told her that she's leaving. 11 o'clock? After 11. So it was 11, around 11? Around 11. I think it was around 11, something. Huh? Okay. Yeah, so it was around 11, something like that. And then, so Shamalika told me that actually she has so many devotees in her house because there was a party, a birthday party for Ramachandra Kaviraj. And then in a few minutes, you know, the whole room was filled with devotees. A few minutes, I mean, how can you get such, I mean, it's just an amazing arrangement, you know, just Krishna, amazed. So the whole room was filled with devotees, and then the Shamalika asked her husband to sing. And this is actually, and then she said that actually she loved his bhajans very, very much. So Krishna arranged also the person who was actually that she liked the most to hear, you know, was there, and the room was filled with wonderful devotees, you know, that she was so much actually affectionate towards, and then they were all there, you know, chanting so beautiful. We were going on, you know, chanting for her, and then until she left. And then, yeah, at a certain point, I mean, you know, she stopped actually breathing, and then, you know, we knew that she was leaving, and then, you know, I put the tulsi and water in her mouth. And also, like, it was written something from before that, you know, also she, quite in the beginning, she asked me to see I asked her what she likes, and she said she likes to see the daily darshan, and then she said she wants to, and I said, what in the daily darshan you want to see? And she said she wants to see the lotus feet of Gopinath. And then I brought the computer next to her, and then she said she cannot see, you know, because she was not able to see. I mean, her eyes were not working anymore. And then after, when I was next to her chanting, so then I took Vrindadevi and I put Vrindadevi's lotus feet in her hands. And then she immediately said, oh, Vrindadevi. You know, she was, you know, grasping the feet of Vrindadevi. So then, I mean, it was really amazing, actually, how Krishna took care so nice. I mean, it was really, it gave me a lot of faith. I mean, I really feel so grateful, actually, that Krishna gave me this experience because it was so nice to see the kindness of Krishna. It was so, such a friend and such a nice arrangement, you know, that he made for all the devotees to be able to see her passing. So many devotees were there, you know, to see her. And this was very... when I was reflecting back, I was thinking so many things could have been going wrong, you know, in the whole thing. But it was... Krishna was so protective, so... so careful for details and making sure that everything is, you know, everybody's satisfied and everybody's learning something. I mean, I really felt like actually very fortunate to be able to take part of it. It was very nice. Yeah, I want so much to thank her for all the lessons that I learned and also the lessons that I have to learn. I hope I will be able to take advantage of any moment of that. And I'm very grateful to that I got to take care of Brinda Devi, and I hope to get the blessings of all of you to be able to take advantage of her association and be blessed by her. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.